to Glaber. And a fly ball to deep right. Betts going back. That ball is gone! It's Glaber Day. He hits a three-run home run to blow this game apart. And like a good Glaber, Torres is there.
Wow. I mean, I'd known Glaber Day. I didn't know like a good Glaber, Torres is there. Sal Capaccio. Hey, Sal.
That's such a good
What's
call.
Up, guys?
Well, you know, win for the Yanks last night. Hey, they got it done.
They did. I mean, I'm just really just ruining and just like I'm stewing over that game one right now. I mean, it should be a 2-2 series. I get it. You never know what happens, right? Yep. With, I mean, the Dodgers kind of threw up the white flag a little bit last night with their pitching late in the game. I get it. But man, it just bothers me so much game one and blowing that game because it should be a 2-2 series now. That said, I mean, hey, Cole's going tonight, right? All you got to get it, just get it to Friday, and you never know. You get it back to L.A. and you never know. And I think the pressure then shifts to the Dodgers if that happens. To be quite honest with you, it's kind of reminded me a little bit of the Stanley Cup. Like after the Oilers got one, you're like, all right, well, who knows, right? Then they get another one, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
I wonder if they win tonight, Sal. For that, I'm watching the comeback documentary that I know you probably will not, because it's the Red Sox comeback over the Yankees, and the Red Sox in the documentary, like, we knew we were winning the series after game five. Like, we won game five.
That's the thing you say in a documentary 30 years later.
I
they did not know.
But they also said they didn't think they were winning it after winning game four. So maybe it's different.
Well,
wasn't
their mantra something like, don't let us win one game? Like, don't let
us
win a game.
That was
Millar. Because once we do that, we're going to win them all.
That was Kevin Millar's mantra.
Okay.
The rest of the team kind of thought he was maybe full of it. But yeah.
One fun idea is there any way that Boone takes Cole out? It's going to be longer.
You mean
this
like the
time, right?
You mean like the same way?
Right.
Like game one.
This time he'll be kept in too long, if anything.
Oh, I see.
Because he's not about to make the mistake of taking him out too early.
I don't know. That's a tough one. Yeah, tonight. I mean, yeah. You got to no matter what you put it all on the line tonight.
That's right.
Because you have
to
do that every game now.
The reason
right?
he would have
so
taken
whatever it takes, you do.
Right. The reason he would have taken him out would be to like load manage a bit, and this is empty the tank time. So
exactly.
I see.
Yeah. I agree. Yes.
All right, so Sal, let's. We got lots to catch up on. The Bills are back home Sunday, 1:00, Dolphins, and we'll get to the Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. It's not really in part of the injury report. We can do that as well, but I want to ask about the Von Miller return to the roster exemption exclusion because I feel like there's been some confusion with how that all works.
Yeah, glad you asked. I'll explain it here. So Von Miller is eligible to return to the Bills this week. So we expect him at practice today. We expect him with the team this week. That should be kind of straightforward, okay? He is not counting on the roster during his suspension, right? He's on a suspended list, okay? Once he comes back to the team, he has a roster exemption for the week. That is totally typical and normal for anyone coming back from a suspension. Now, I could get into more weed than the details, the weeds of like how if you're suspended for a certain amount of time, how long the exemption lasts. It doesn't matter. They have an exemption for 1 week. But what that exemption means, here's the confusion. All it means is they have to still activate him for the game. Once they activate him for the game, the exemption's over. The Bills don't get an extra player on the roster this week. They don't get 54 players. They don't get Von Miller not counting on Sunday and still get 53 other players on their roster, if that makes sense. That's where the confusion comes in. I get it because it hasn't been explained, but when you see national reporters say the Bills have a roster exemption this week for Von Miller, people think, oh, they can play with 54 players. They can't. They have a roster exemption. It's basically guys the same. One of my Twitter followers actually did a really good job of saying it's the same thing as a guy on IR designated to return, essentially, right? Like, he can practice with them all week. He does not count. Once they activate him, which they have to by Saturday in order to play, they have to be at 53 players. Now, if he practiced all week and they decided not to activate him, they could carry him through Sunday's game. He just couldn't play, and they could have 53 other players. They could do that. But I saw a lot of people yesterday thinking, oh, this means they're going to trade for someone this week because they get a roster exemption. No, you still have to have 53 players on Sunday when you play. Von Miller's going to count as that 53rd once they activate him. Hope that makes sense for everybody.
Okay.
There's a decision with Darrington Evans this week, too.
He's been released.
Okay,
he's been released.
Yeah, he was released. So he was never counting on the roster.
Right.
and he was released, they would have had, they had to make a decision. If they would have activated him, they would have had to make a roster move. Now, one of the confusing parts of why this is happening with Von Miller with fans is the Bills actually only have 52 on their roster right now. When they put Dwayne Carter on IR, that actually did create a roster space. You know who that's going to be used for? Von Miller. So that's what's going to happen, guys. It's really kind of, there's nothing that people need to read more into it about this week, all right? It's pretty straightforward. The Bills currently, I'll lay it out this way. The Bills have 52 players on their roster right now. By Saturday night, 4 p.m., when they activate Von Miller for the game on Sunday, that'll give them to 53. There you go. The trade deadline's on Tuesday next week.
They'll be the 53rd. Okay.
All right, Sal, so to the actual injury report, I mean, is there anything significant to watch? You said there were no official injury designations in Seattle. People kind of took a look at Amari Cooper and a shoulder. Today would be a day where that might show up if it's going to.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, especially with a veteran, 10-year veteran, if there's anything that happened, if there's anything that, you know, came out of that, I wouldn't be surprised you get a red non-contact jersey, something like that. Remember a couple weeks ago, Mac Hollins showed up with a red non-contact jersey. A lot of fans were like, oh my God, what's going on? Another injury. Well, he in that game in Houston, he had fallen on his shoulder. And, you know, they were working on it. And, you know, it's just something to maintain and manage throughout the week to make sure he doesn't get hit. So that happens. Today's the day for that. So I have no idea if that's going to happen until we get out to practice. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised you see that. Or even if they say, hey, we'll give him a vet rest day with the shoulder. Because, you know, people noticed it at least. I will tell you, though, he went back in the game. He played 50% of the snaps, and there was nothing on the sidelines for that. And that said, nothing else. The big injuries to monitor this week, the guys that were out, especially Terrell Bernard. Like, what is happening with Terrell Bernard this week? Does he practice today? And what is his status for this week? Is he on track to play this week? And then Curtis Samuel, of course, as well, at wide receiver.
And is it tough to gauge? Maybe it would be this way anyway, Sal, with Bernard, because last week there was the stuff with like how he had a personal matter, but we probably think he was going to be missing those practices anyway.
Yeah, so what happened was last week, that's exactly right, Joe. Like, he had the personal excused absence, but attached to that was, hey, he's also dealing with the ankle, as Sean McDermott said. So he was listed ankle, personal, and pectoral, by the way, because you get a little treatment on it, which, by the way, I just want to circle back to that one second. But when the week went on Friday, Sean McDermott said he was back with the team. He was not going to play. That was due to the ankle not being personal. So at this point, I would say, don't even worry about the personal stuff. That was last week. That was 2 days. This is the ankle. I do think we have to have, you know, people need to realize how an injury report works, because the last few weeks, there have been a lot of names, right, for the Bills. Like 16 names at one point. And I get, like, the great freak out from people because you see all those names. Oh, my God, so many people. There's all these injuries. Let me just explain something to everybody for a second. The NFL, the last few years, has really, really, really cracked down on injury reports with teams because of the explosion of gambling. Like, anybody who's dealing with anything, if you get treatment on something, you have to be listed. Josh Allen is still being listed with his left hand, even though he's fine. We know he's fine. But if he goes to the trainer just to have it examined before practice, hey, take a look at it, make sure, do a couple exercises, guess what? He's on the injury report. That's what they do, because you have to do that. That is part of, remember Joe Burrow last year with the wrist injury? Remember that, guys, with what happened with the league and all the controversy? Mm-hmm. Like, so I just want to just prepare everybody every week. Like, when you see all those names, it just means in some capacity that person is getting some sort of treatment. That's why you see full with a lot of these guys now. And if they're limited, if it says they're limited at practice, what that means is they just didn't do their normal team reps during practice because they're maintaining the injury in some capacity. So just to kind of let everybody know how injury reports work these days.
Last thing on the injuries for me, Sal. Bernard, when he was originally injured early in the season, it was the Miami game. And I think it was one of the first drives that he ended up leaving and Baylen Specter had to come in. So, like, for you, if he were to be banged up in this game or not able to play, Specter, I don't know, how did you feel he played against Seattle? And two, like, the Dolphins in general, though, having to play your backup middle linebacker, how do you feel about kind of the matchup on that front?
Well, he did a pretty nice job against Miami that day when he came in. I think that was like, oh my God, you know, Bill Inspector comes in. But the Bills, you know, they started to take control pretty early in that game. They had a really good plan. He did a nice job. I think obviously the concern is in coverage. You know, Bill Inspector, if you're going to run, and the Dolphins, they, you know, we talk about, Joe, we've talked about this before. The Dolphins get known for this high-flying offense. They run the ball well, right? They run the ball a lot. They do want to run the ball. And in that regard, you know, Bill Inspector's a good guy to have. They also have a lot of speed, though. And, you know, that's not necessarily Bill Inspector's game. That's more Terrell Bernard's game. So I think the Bills feel okay about him in that spot. They feel good about him in that spot. He knows the defense. He calls the defense. I thought he played really well last week, though, because here's one thing that they did last week. The Bills played a lot of dime last week. But you know who came off the field?
Dorian Williams.
Yeah. You know, his Bale Inspector stayed in the middle of the defense and dime defense, and I thought he did a nice job. And look, he can do that as long as you're not asking him to run down the field with guys, right? If you're asking him to just drop into his zone, his curl to hook zone, things like that, you know, then you'll be fine there. So, you know, I think the Bills, you obviously love to have Terrell Bernard, but I think they feel really good about where Bale Inspector is. But sure, there's some limitations there that teams would try to attack.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of Bills-Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins lost last week, and I feel like, I don't know, that might have been their come-back-to-earth moment. There was this belief that Tua might return, and they still, I guess they still could save their season, Sal, but they really, I feel like they really needed that win for any Bills fan to take them seriously. Losing at home to Arizona is a pretty tough one, even though their offense did pop back a bit, so I'm looking at Miami as a bit of a wounded animal. They never beat the Bills. Tua never beats the Bills. He made a comment on it, like, it's the same until we beat him. The same kind of thing that Mike McDaniel said. So, not an opponent the Bills take lightly because it's a division opponent. But it almost feels like another opportunity to bury their season like they did in week two.
Yeah, this is, like, you're exactly right, Jeremy. Like, their season's on the line right now. You know, I follow a lot of, you know, the reporters from the other teams leading up to the games. And, you know, just checking in on the Miami reporters this week, that's the theme. It's like there's two parts to this for the Miami fan base, Miami media, which is like your season's on the line. You have to win this game. If you don't win this game, you're pretty much done. That's it. And, you know, you're riding it out. I think that's the thought, whether that's actually mathematically true or whatever, that's the thought. And the second one is, like, this is a team you just can't beat. At some point, you have to play with them. And I think beyond that, I've read a couple pieces this week where they're like, look, this was a season where you thought maybe, okay, you came to within 1 week last year of beating the Bills, and you, this is the year where you finally maybe should have surpassed them, and the gap has widened, actually. And that's, like, super discouraging for Miami and their fans, and that's kind of the approach they're taking this week down in South Florida, which is, oh, my God, like, when are you ever going to... Doesn't it kind of feel like we kind of did here with the Patriots? Like, even when there were years, 2011, you beat them once, they come here like, okay, are we getting close? And then all of a sudden, yeah, that really wasn't really true, right? And like, when is it ever going to end? And that's kind of what they're feeling right now. Their season's on the line this week. I mean, this is going to be a team that's going to come here and do anything they can to win this game.
And remember, it was like that game, Sal, it's over before Tua goes out. Like, they're almost in the end zone there, but they're down. Are they down 20?
Yeah.
At that point, like, the Bills have that game in the bag already. Tua had thrown three picks. Remember, there was the pick six that was horrific, in that game. And I wonder what this game will look like and how the Bills think it will look, because in typical Bills Dolphin fashion, you usually see Allen go off. His numbers against them are incredible. In that game, maybe for the first time, it felt like Allen just didn't have to do anything because everything else was working for the Bills.
Yeah, and I mean, they're just so, their defense, Miami's defense, they're just so banged up, right? Bradley Chubb, they thought might get, like, start to come back a little bit here soon. He's not.
Right.
Like, there's no, like, they McDaniel even said, like, they're not even thinking about that right now. We know Jalen Phillips, unfortunately, is out again. I say I love watching that kid play, but I mean, that's just been terrible for him. Now another season-ending knee injury this time, Achilles last year. And then Zach Sealer had the you see the story last week? His orbital bone. I mean, like, he got poked in the eye at practice, and then the next day it comes out that he broke his orbital bone. And I mean, I don't know what his status is. I don't think he played last week. I have to look, but I mean, they're really banged up on defense. Look, I mean, Jalen Ramsey's had a heck of a career, and he can still make some plays, but, you know, you're seeing some things every week where it's like, you know, he's kind of real hit or miss right now at this point of his career. And then, Javon Holland? Like, Javon Holland might not play this week, guys. That's something from the Miami side. Like, Javon Holland's dealing with an injury. Like, it's just, you want to talk about Josh Allen against that defense? Like, there might be even more opportunity this week because I don't know where they're going to get that pass rush from. And, you know, the Bills have kind of had the formula here against them.
Yeah, there's, you know, you've made the point about training staffs. There's probably a little bit of luck. That's one thing the Bills, yeah. I don't know that they've ever really had one of those, I mean, knock on wood, knocking on all the wood right now, the season from hell. But that's what Miami really has here. Because, Sal, when they played the Dolphins in week two or whatever, and then we fast forward, at that time, Miami's injury list was long. Like, they've been battling everything the entire year. Tua, of course, is the biggest headline, but everybody's been hurt there. It's been a miserable season for the Dolphins.
I would say that maybe last year was the season from hell like that for the Bills, right, on defense. I mean, Daquan Jones, Matt Milano, Tre'Davious White, right? I mean, like, they just kept, guys just kept going down. But you're right. I mean, in a little, and there's luck. I mean, come on. What are you going to, what guy gets poked in the eye and has a, whatever, it must not have been a poke. That's a pretty severe poke, right? But that's like one of their better players. So, yeah, you're right about that. And look, it doesn't matter. They're going to have to come into Buffalo. Hey, there's, you know, this, it's football and it's professional sports and these things happen and, you know, nobody's crying for you. You still have to go out there, and that's why you have a roster of 53 players, and, you know, that's what Miami's got the challenge of here.
So, Capaccio, on the Wester hotline ahead of Bills-Dolphins.
Trade deadline 6 days away, Sal. Are you thinking at all about it yet with some of the deals in the league? Yesterday, I mean, the Bills made the Cooper trade, so it's not like receivers on the forefront here, but I don't know. We're still thinking there could be something maybe on a minor level.
The
right?
Jets could be selling off if they lose tomorrow.
I tweeted that the other day, like half kidding, and now I'm starting to convince myself that maybe it could actually happen. Yeah. Like if they lose tomorrow and drop to 2-7, like they would they not maybe think about trading Adams back to somebody else? Like I don't know.
Yeah, it's wild, right? Look, I think there's just been a lot of deals leading up to the deadline. You know, the NFL has been very interesting with, you know, just a lot of movement. We've seen that over the last several years. There was a year or two, there's not much happening. And I remember a few years ago, there was more deals than ever right near the deadline. And now here we go again. And all these wide receiver moves. And you know, the Ravens getting Deontay Johnson, you know, that's a really nice pickup for them, obviously, right? The Chiefs last week getting DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, the receivers are the ones that seem like they're moving. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's more receivers on the move. People talking about the Bengals trading T. Higgins in their situation, what could happen there. The Jets, you know, another, they play Thursday night. Like, they'll know. Yeah. That's what's interesting. If the Jets lose to the Texans, by the way, who should Bills fans be rooting for there?
The Jets.
It's the Jets, and I'm telling you right now, as soon as the game starts, I'm going to have a very hard time not rooting against the Jets. You know?
I know, right? So, I mean, even look at the Texans especially, too. Could the Texans add a wide receiver now with Stephon Diggs being out?
Right.
You know, and then the Jets, there's been a lot of rumors about trading Mike Williams if someone wants to do that. If the Jets lose, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of start to, you know, sell off parts. What about this report from Josina Anderson that the Patriots are actually monitoring the trade market to add? Like, they want to be buyers. What? Like, that's fine if you're going to get guys with term on your deal, but,
you know,
man.
What? Can I make the case for them buying? If May is healthy, he's already proven to be worth playing. And one of the criticisms of the idea that he would go in early was the offensive line is so bad. Like, if you're New England, some teams will rent to try to win the Super Bowl. Could I rent a left tackle to give me 8 games of good protection for Drake May to bring him along? Like, I do think it's worth renting for, hey, this is a Drake May mini season. Let's give him a little something if we can.
I would say to that, Sal, like, I don't mind that as long as it doesn't cost you anything. I wouldn't be pouring. And might be true. Like, Cam Robinson yesterday went for, it was a swap of a 7th for a 6th.
Yeah, like, just.
Like, if you could find a trade like that,
pick
then
swaps
then maybe.
And slides, and like, let's give Drake a little bit more to work with down the stretch.
But to your point, Sal, I think it makes way more sense for them if, like, hey, we're getting a receiver that's got 3 years left on his deal. Because think about it. New England's been trying to get a receiver for, what, 5 years now? And if I'm them, I might, like, if it has to happen at the deadline, like, whatever, because I've been searching for 5 years and haven't been able to get the guy.
Yeah, I like your thought, Jeremy, and you guys work it out well there, but you also need draft capital. You're trying to build your team. Their roster is not very talented, right? So if you bring in talent and you just let it walk out the door and then you didn't replace it with the draft capital. But you're right. I mean, if you can do it just to kind of get a better evaluation of Drake May, see where he's at, and it really doesn't cost you anything, you know, then go right ahead. And I understand that part of it. So it's going to be interesting. I do think there'll be deals. And as far as the Bills are concerned, you know, to kind of bring it back to there. No doubt. I mean, I think that, you know, Brandon Bean can still add to this roster. I don't know about, you know, anybody going off the roster. That would kind of surprise me. You look around. I know, you know, people say we've talked about Kyrie Elam for the last several years, you know, where he's at. But I think the Bills like him right now as their fourth boundary corner. Right. And, you know, I think that they feel comfortable there. But you never know. I think they have depth on the offensive line, but you need a depth on the offensive line. There's been talk about linebacker. There's been talk about safety. Maybe that's a spot. But I would also tell you, like, hey, if you really got to a point where you needed it, you might still be able to give Micah Hyde a call, right, if you didn't want to give up an asset. I have no idea if that would be viable, if he would want to do that or not. And let's remember Matt Milano.
Yeah,
is still probably in some capacity, probably going to come back here, you know, before the end of the season. So if you're thinking about adding to the roster, that's a couple of ways you can do it without actually trading for anything.
You have a quick thought on Diggs out for the year, Sal, and maybe like
I just think it's horrible.
Yeah, like his market now. I wonder what it will be. It's kind of a little unique. 31, he took that risk, right, to redo his contract. And off a torn ACL, like I still think he'll obviously land somewhere, but he probably lost some money with this.
Here's what his market is. His market is not a high salary playing with his brother in Dallas next year. That's his market.
That's probably a good bet. Yeah.
Right?
That might be good enough.
What's the odds on him being a Cowboy next year? They got to be pretty high.
Yeah, that might be good enough for him. He made $30 million this year. He's made like almost, I don't know, $130, $140 million his career. He might be like, yeah, let's go play with my brother.
Yep.
Sal, final thought. Yankees tonight. That guy gets to get back in the same seats?
Does he really? I didn't know that.
The Yankees told him that he's just going back to his seats
after ripping the ball away from Mookie Betts.
I don't like that. He should be done. Get out of there. Don't let that guy back in.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be able to go to a game again, period. Like, that was, like, what are we doing, man? Grabbing a player's glove and arm and ripping the ball out? I mean, you can't allow that to happen.
Yep. I mean, you as a Yankee fan probably saw a lot of people taking the opportunity to trash Yankee fans.
Of course.
Right? Like, that guy is representative of Yankee fans in that moment. And the fact they're letting him back in, like, I think that's tough. Real tough.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, well, I should trash Red Sox fans because a pizza guy. Throwing the pizza,
That's right.
At the guy.
Has Josh Allen always been a Yankee fan, by the way?
No, I think he's a Giants fan. So he would have been there rooting.
Okay. Padres, maybe? I thought it was Padres. Maybe it was Padres. I'm not really sure.
There's a thing where Yankees hats and like clothing now is like a style thing. Some people wear Yankee. I'm not kidding. That's a thing. So maybe that's what's happening there, or maybe his girlfriend is a Yankee fan, or maybe he just wanted to, go to a series. That could be it, too.
He could have just wanted to go to a game and give him a hat.
Well, but I would also tell you, all right, and I think this is very legitimate to say it this way, in case Bills fans are unaware of this, Bills special teams coach Cody Harkey, his dad is the Yankees bullpen coach Mike Harkey.
Okay. So it could be like him supporting one of his guys a little bit there?
Yeah, for sure. So if Cody Harkey, who's on the Bills staff, assistant special teams coach, if his dad is coaching, like, hey, you guys have an off day, come, you know, wants to see his son. By the way, when we were in Houston, New York, when the Bills played New York, the Jets, Monday night, Mike Harkey came to the hotel. I got to meet him, Cody Harkey's dad. And they had just ended the series, you know, the divisionals, maybe the first series, either way. It was really cool. And, you know, I think that's what I think about, which is, hey, it's a chance to see my son. It's an off night. We're playing. Come to the stadium. You never know. Reed Ferguson is a huge Yankees fan, as you guys probably know. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. And obviously, Reed works close with, you know, Cody Harkey. So I wouldn't be surprised if something like that was the case.
Yeah. All right, Sal. Thanks very much.
Real quick, I got something for you guys. Do either of you have the Chargers defense or special teams? Chargers defense / special teams in fantasy football?
No.
Why?
Okay. Field Yates says, the Chargers defense special teams has now been charged with just 6 points allowed rather than 8 because the safety taken by the punt team is not considered points allowed. So your box score should be updated and reflected accordingly.
All right.
So you're waking up this morning and you like went from a win to a loss on one point because of the Chargers defense special teams. Don't be surprised.
I don't think I like this. Wait, the punt team gave up the safety?
That's what it says.
That's special teams.
It should be.
That should be under the umbrella of special teams, right? Am I wrong?
The safety taken by the punt team is not considered points allowed. This is ESPN's league now. Could be a different in your league.
Okay. You know what I'm getting at, though, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yes, I totally get it.
If it's defense slash special teams, the special teams gave up the 2 points. Therefore, you've still given up 2 points.
You make a good case.
I don't know. I don't know how that. I've never had that situation play out, though, so I wouldn't have known how that
works. Won a game on a Bijan Robinson stat correction this week, so...
Yeah.
That was fair, though, because
they just gave it to the wrong player.
Yeah, did you see what happened, Sal?
Yeah.
A pass earlier in the game was credited as received by Darnell Mooney, and it was wrong, so they gave it to Bijan. It was a catch for 6 yards.
Yeah, they caught it later.
Mooney
yeah.
wears one, Bijan wears seven, so maybe the person just, you know, whoever does the score is put the wrong number in. But yeah, Bijan got 1.6 on that.
These stat corrections happen a lot, and they generally just don't impact anything. Yeah. But every week, there are a bunch of them. They happen in-game, by the way, real quick. Bills playing the Titans. At halftime, it was, I think it was Bills playing the Titans. Maybe it was maybe it wasn't. But either way, I look up at the scoreboard, and it was like there was a certain amount of yardage. And then they come out at halftime, and I looked at the yardage was different. And they had literally corrected it at halftime.
Fumble yards are a thing too, right? Didn't Allen to Ty Johnson, would that be fumble yards or something like that?
Oh, the kick, the first down kick?
Yeah, here's the one. I know, I'm sorry, guys. I know you're late. Let me ask you this. What happened on we were debating actually a little bit, the snap that went over Geno's head.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that gets charged as an actual rush?
For Kenneth Walker?
To Kenneth Walker.
Because he picked it up.
And he lost, what, 20 yards?
A lot.
So, yeah. So, let me look at the game book. When did that happen? First quarter, right?
Yeah, second quarter, maybe? Yeah, but first half, at least. I don't know.
When it was the... second quarter. Here we go. Kenneth Walker. Okay, recovered by Kenneth Walker. But Walker pushed out of bounds 22 for 7 yards. So he got...
He got the credit from where he grabbed the ball?
I guess so, yeah. That's what it says here on the actual game book that I'm looking at.
That's a weird one.
Wow, I don't know, man. That's a weird one. I don't know. I have to look more into that.
Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys.
Sal Capace on the Western Hotline. We are a little late, but that's okay. When we come back, I got a dad joke that's a 10 out of 10. 10
out of 10. You think it's a 10 out of 10 dad joke?
It's pretty good. You're going to love it. We get our dad joke of the day in. You're going to tell it later today. That's that good. We'll get to that. We got the worst call Wednesday, courtesy of Charles Barkley. We can complain about the Jets a little bit. We'll have some fun.
Thank you. It's the start, I know. Everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team and just everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack.
D'Amico Ryans and the loss of Stephon Diggs. Joe, what do I have in common with the Houston Texans?
I don't know what.
We both traded a second round pick for 7 games of Stephon Diggs. Dynasty. That was a nice little, you know.
That's a nice little nice little trade, though.
Mid-level receiver, like, you know, throw him in the lineup a couple times. He was doing well. He's on pace for about 1,000 yards.
He was 8th in fantasy points for PPR leagues, at least, so far this year. So. I had him in one league, in a dynasty league, where a year ago I traded Dalton Kincaid for him. It had been going great.
Sure.
Now, obviously, you'd rather have the Kincaid side.
Yes, of course, yeah. Well, all right. Very important question.
Oh, is this what I think it is?
A very important question for you. What's the difference between a well-dressed man on a bicycle and a poorly dressed man on a tricycle?
One wheel? What?
A tire.
If I thought about it for another second, I might have got there. Yeah.
It's your dad joke.
You had that as a 10?
It's pretty good.
It's more like
that one's probably
like
an 8. It's pretty
I'll
good.
I'll give it an 8, not a 10. We're still searching for that perfect 10, I think. I almost feel like the dad joke's got to be horrible for it to be a 10.
What did the fish say when he hit the wall?
What?
Damn.
That's better. I think I like that one better. I think that one's better.
All right. Yeah. I've got flyover news for Sunday.
All right.
You know, we are the official
against the Dolphins.
We are the official show of getting info on the flyovers.
Yes.
Only because I don't think anybody else is claiming to try.
We have the market cornered.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Our back, what game was it? The Jacksonville game? Where was the KC-135? No, that was the night game.
No, that was Arizona.
Arizona opener, yeah.
Do they do flyovers for night games?
Not all the time.
I can't remember a night flyover.
I feel like I can picture dusk flyovers in like West Coast games, like the stealth bombers going over and the sun's going down.
Super Bowl 25, they would have had flyovers for helicopters, and that would have been maybe dusk, same thing.
So our buddy Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Abels hooked me up with a guy who's going to be doing the flyover this week and the plane they're going to do.
Okay.
It's a C-5, which is the largest aircraft in the military.
Big plane.
Yeah.
There's going to be a big old plane flying over the stadium on Sunday.
As big as it gets in
the
U.S. military.
The biggest plane.
A C-5 is a... Here's how you know it's big. It's the C-5. It's called the Galaxy. The Lockheed C-5 Galaxy. That's what's going over the stadium. Weather permitting and all that stuff. That's the plan.
Big. How big is it in relation to the stadium?
Is it the size of the stadium?
Yeah.
It's huge.
Hold on. I'm going to have that answer in 3 seconds. It is 82 yards long.
All right.
The plane is like the length of almost the entire football field.
Wow.
So like a football field is going to fly overhead.
Yeah.
Well, but wider probably.
Yeah. It's pretty big.
Yeah. All right. Exciting. Love flyovers.
Well, Sunday 1 o'clock game.
The last flyover was loud.
Yes, it was.
It was so loud.
Yes, it
maybe
was.
Maybe like the loudest one that I can remember.
Yeah, the story was there were supposed to be 4 planes, and there were only two went over the stadium.
Yeah,
gonna be a fun day. Tua, welcome back.
Good weather.
The Dolphins. I mean, listen.
Reminiscing maybe a little bit of the Week 3 game last year. It was a sunny, nice day.
Yep.
The Dolphins would have been very different heading into that. They were coming off a 70-point performance. This time, it's like their season feels over if they lose it.
You surprised the spread's not bigger?
It's what, 6.5?
I've got it at 5.5 right now.
5.5, I am surprised it's not bigger. It feels like it should be bigger, but this does feel like a game where we're all assuming they're going to beat the snot out of the Dolphins. And
because we should assume that until further notice.
Right. And I want to guess that's going to happen. Should I assume it's going to happen? There have been some close games between these two teams, and the Dolphins are not pushovers. Like, okay, they lost at home by 1 point to the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't bad. The Bills were down to the wire with the Cardinals, right? Here, same thing. On the road, the Cardinals beat the Dolphins on a last-second field goal. The Cardinals had the ball with a chance to beat the Bills at the end of the game. So, you know, how much do I want to blast them for that? A little bit. They had a lead in that game and they did blow it. But are they a horrible football team? They're not a horrible football team. I just feel like the Bills know how to play them. Right? The Bills coaching staff knows exactly what works against them.
The only, like, all right, let's find a way to Miami's victory. The only thing I think you'd see is Achan and Mostert are both healthy right now.
Yes.
And the Dolphins decide we're going to stick to the run. We're not going to be a team that tries to get it to Tyreek Hill when you can never really do that against the Bills. So they really try to stick to the run. They bleed clock. They try to keep it close. And at the end, they hope to be in the ballpark. Their defense is not stopping this offense. It never really has. The Bills' offense didn't even really have to play in the first game.
No. How many yards?
It was James
did
Cook.
Did Allen get to 100 yards in that game?
James Cook had 3 touchdowns, right?
Right.
Including a long run.
Yep.
And the Bills' passing game didn't even have to really do anything. Now the passing game has found a bit of a rhythm. So, I mean, it's a tough one for the Dolphins. It'll feel like another game. We did this with the Jets, the Dolphins earlier this year, the Dolphins last year when Tua got knocked out. Mm-hmm. Not only are the Bills beating their division opponents, they are burying their seasons.
Yeah.
and this would be second loss.
You're doing it a second time.
You're back. We didn't bury you far enough into the earth. Here's another beat down.
Right. Like the day after the Bills beat the Dolphins, it was your season's over. Yeah. Now they're back. It's like, oh, that's funny. You think your season's still alive? Let me just do this
one more time.
Let me send you to 2-7.
Maybe you didn't hear us the first time, you know?
Right.
Be Caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to see comedian Sean Murphy at Rob's Playhouse Theater Saturday, November 2nd. That's 2214-WGR, the number to call. Sean Murphy, a New York City comedian, originally from Buffalo, likable, awkward, keeps audiences captivated whenever he performs. He is very good. Regular at the Comedy Cellar, has a great YouTube special called Neil, performs in top comedy clubs across the country. Visit PlayhouseTix.com for details. Again, caller 5 to 2214-WGR gets a pair of those tickets for Saturday, November 2nd. Worst Call Wednesday when we return.
Time now for Worst Call Wednesday. Brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center.
It's a great honor, but they got to take that thing down.
No, not animated. If you made an animated face and then they made a bronze statue.
If you made an ugly statue, that's what it would look like. That thing's awful.
It's not awful. Look, he's making an animated face.
Yeah, it's
a moment.
That was after he saw the statue right there. that's the face he made after he saw that.
One of the best reactions I saw was that, look, if you showed that to 1,000 people and didn't say who just got a statue, would you ever say, oh, yeah, that's Dwayne Wade?
I would have said Dwayne Wade making an animated face.
Hey, you know what? Hey.
All right, so Worst Call Wednesday. It's brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. The worst call you could make is skipping your recommended cancer screenings. To learn more about potentially life-saving screening recommendations and guidelines, visit roswellpark.org/screening.
The worst call is that he allowed the statue, basically.
The worst call is the Miami Heat green-lighting the Dwayne Wade statue. I'm like, yep, let's put it up.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And Wade being involved in the process. Also, I saw this. Did you know the moment they're depicting, maybe this is more of a little thing other than it doesn't look anything like him, being obviously the primary concern here, he's wearing the wrong jersey. The moment that they're depicting, he's wearing a different jersey than what they put the statue on.
Hmm.
He was wearing like a third jersey that they just decided, well, we don't want the third jersey in front of the arena from 5 years ago, so let's just put a different jersey on him. Again, that's probably secondary, though, to the it looks nothing like him.
It's pretty bad.
How do you green light that? Yeah, the explanation was it's him in action, or it's, I think Wade even said, like, it's supposed to be, like, an artist interpretation of the moment.
Yeah, you could say what you want. It's pretty bad.
I don't know. Did they take it down? Or once it's up, it's up?
It's up.
You can't take it down?
I don't know.
Try again.
They could maybe be bullied into taking it down. Probably not. Rough. All right. Happy birthday, Tage Thompson.
All right. How old? 27?
27.
Okay. All right, good. This doesn't feel old yet.
No?
Maybe next year it'll be like, Tage is 28 already, huh?
It goes quick.
He's on pace for 60 goals still, I think, the season. Or
would
right
you bet
it?
Him to score 50?
Yes, I think. Yes. Can I get the if he's healthy caveat?
Sure. He plays 82
okay,
games.
Then yes.
He'll score 50?
Yes. My biggest concern might be he's played like three straight seasons where he's dealt with injury at each of them.
He plays 80 games. Score 50?
Yeah. I'll say yes.
I don't want to put it on the bet board because I definitely don't want to root against that. So I can't put it on the bet board.
Wouldn't you think he's at least close?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, consider
him playing
that,
like this, he's not scoring less than 45 goals, in my opinion.
I'd like, where is he in even strength goals right now? Because the power play has not been.
Well, he hasn't scored. He hasn't scored.
That's what I mean.
Play. Yeah.
Is he close to leading the league in even strength goals?
He leads the league in even strength goals.
That's pretty good.
7. Yep. I only know that because I went to his hockey reference page, and that's the one number that's in the big, bold, black lettering. So, yeah, 7 even strength goals leads the league so far this year. The line looks unstoppable. Like, that line, I'm thinking, is going to be together all year. Unless, are they going to break that line up to try to salvage the other line? That's a possibility. I don't think you'd want to do that, but if you have no other option, would you do it? You break up the line that's working to try and get the other line
going. Who am I putting in the place of Paterka? Who's moving? Is Paterka moving or is Tuck moving? I think they'd be fine if Tuck moved.
Maybe Tuck's moving?
I think Paterka Thompson, when we talked to
you
Lindy...
You move Tuck down with Cousins and you put Quinn up with Tage?
Yeah, when we talked with Lindy, he says a lot of coaches now do pairs. You think of them in pairs that are inseparable and one piece of each line pops up and down, and maybe it's the Tuck piece that pops off. I wouldn't want to put...
I think Paterka should be the partner.
I want Paterka on the ice as much as possible.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550. It is a Wednesday. It's going to be a windy Wednesday. Real windy. Joe's thrilled. We're playing golf today.
Hit some stingers today,
not,
boys.
Not together. He can't wait to hit the ball in 40-mile-an-hour gusts.
Hit some stingers. Low.
Psycho. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.